of Jesus, and we have joy. Hallelujah, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. Our Father and our God, we have Jesus, we have joy. Bless your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for yet another day. We come before your presence today, Father, with thanksgiving in our hearts, all that you've done for us, Father, for everything that you have wrought in our presence this week. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. As we come before your presence now, Father God, we ask you, Father, to take absolute control, Father, of this meeting today, Father. As your word comes forth, we ask you, Father, to speak to our hearts and open up the eyes of our understanding, Father, that we may receive your word with gladness. We thank you right now, Father. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We bless God for his mercies that enable us to see another beautiful day. And a day especially that we are all celebrating the mothers, wonderful, awesome mothers. We bless God. We thank God. Today is very crucial. Very, very crucial. Because I had finished the message that was supposed to be for today. I was almost done. And the Lord said, no, you are going to do revision. Because a number of us still do not understand the journey that is taking us through. I was very moved. I was very touched. Because I know a lot of us have reasons, excuses, and places we go to, things that we are all doing. If we can just create room and say this is an important moment we want to meet with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it will help us grieve many things that we cry about, we are sad about, many things that don't give us confidence, many things that make us feel, oh, are we abandoned? Oh, has God forgotten me? Or all the long-awaited things that we are looking on to God for that we have not achieved yet. God is very simple, I've just found out. Through this, my little journey, I've been with him. He's a very easy gentleman. He gives you instructions. He sends servants to speak to you, to share his word. And these are already words that have been confirmed in the Bible, already written by many, many men of God that he ordained and put his word in their mouth to share. I just hope that we'll have more discipline to take his word with a little bit of more tenacity, discipline, maturity, and selfless love and obedience. It will help us a lot. We'll be living this world with joy, with peace every day, even right in the storm, because they are bound to come. They are bound to come. They will come. But because you have Christ in you, and you already know what God said, and you are assured in your spirit man by faith, you will overcome. So today, we are to refresh. It's to help us refresh our memory and to better understand the journey God has taken us through so far. So I would like to do a brief review of standing out in the crowd. How important it is, standing out in the crowd. From part one, when we started January 7th, when we resumed this year, up to date, up to last week, Sunday, when we did part 17. We only had one interruption when we did a different message, and the rest, we are standing out in the crowd. I'm going to try as much as possible to do this review. Please, I want to appeal to everyone to be patient, because this is what the Lord had orchestrated for me to deliver to everybody today, a review. I sat down, I did everything according as my knowledge and with the help of the Holy Spirit brought me thus far. So as you are learning, you could be writing down notes, you could be recording. Please pay full attention and God will bless us. If we are able to do the entire review for the 17 parts, awesome. Because next week, by God's grace, is still Children's Day, and also a day where we are all children of God. Remember that. So it's Children's Day, and also a day where we also do anointing service. So I don't know if there will be permission for us to finish up tomorrow or to next week, Sunday, or to postpone the rest for the following week. I don't know. But as the Spirit leads me, I follow and obey. So This review is to make us have a quality understanding of the path God has planned for us to enjoy, the journey he has planned for us to be strengthened, the journey he has planned for us to be strong, the journey that he has planned for us to be bold and to lead us all through to a wealthy place of deeper knowledge and understanding of him. A place we can have a deeper connection with God. He is leading us to a place where we can have a strong knowledge of who we are in him. The importance of knowing that you are in Christ and Christ is also in you. A place where we are assured of his protection and security no matter what we are going through. He's taking us to a better place where we will know the authority and power that we possess in this life as his children. He's taking us to a secure place where he will be able to stand us out right in the midst of the crowd as his own people. I will first begin by summarizing briefly part 1, part 2, and part 3 together. When we started January 7th, I began the conversation by pointing out some specific characteristics that will make us to be noticed by God that could also stand us out in the midst of a crowd so that we can get attracted to God and God to us. I said, we have to be born again. You have to be holy unto God. You have to pray without ceasing. You have to study the scriptures. You have to serve him with all your heart. And you have to seek him first in everything that you do. I mentioned also that we have to be peculiar and unique. We have to have a character that is visibly different in our actions and in our deeds. Therefore, you have to watch your action at home, your action and outside. Your deeds at home, your deeds outside the home. But if you have a character that likes to pretend or present yourself as self-righteous, or you want to pretend you are pure before men, that sort of character could deprive you from being noticed by God. Because you can pretend to man, but you can never be able to pretend to God or hide anything from God. Because he sees you right from the inside of your heart, even before you manifest your thoughts. He knows everything. Therefore, if I may ask everyone right now listening to me, if God were to search your heart right this moment, what would he find? What would God find in your heart if he decides to search your heart right now? Would it be enough to choose you from the crowd? Because we are so many in this earth calling ourselves children of God, believing God in diverse ways, thinking and assuming we are one with God. Because you are not one with him until he chooses you. God is attracted to certain types of people, not everybody. So to clarify my point, I used Joseph as an example. I talked about his character and his life experiences. I said he was the 11th child out of 12 sons and one sister. But he was the only one God chose out of all his siblings to reveal dreams through. Before he got to the realization of his dreams and actually being able to achieve his purpose, he went through what I would call hell. All he did was just to go on an errand by his father, to go and check on his brothers where they were feeding their father's flock. As soon as they sighted Joseph from afar off, they said, look at the dreamer coming. They planned to kill him. Together, they made fun of him. They beat him up. They tore his beautiful coat that the father made for him. They threw him in a pit and later decided to sell him out as a slave to strangers. He was taken to Egypt and bought by Potiphar as a slave. Potiphar entrusted everything he owned to his care while he was at his house. Until one day, Potiphar's wife tempted him. And he did what? He ran off, refusing to commit sin before God and against his master Potiphar. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife And he ended up in prison for crime he did not commit. In all these experiences, he held no grudge or bitterness against anyone. Instead, he said that the plan his brothers meant for evil, God turned it to good. Joseph forgave them all because he saw God's purpose in the experiences that led him to become the second in command in Egypt, where God actualized his dream and chose him out of the crowd and positioned him to feed and save people from starving to death. He held no bitterness in his heart. Brethren, God uses people with the right heart to accomplish his mighty works. Can God trust you to save lives? Can God use you to accomplish his purpose here on earth? How determined are you to save people from perishing? How right is your heart and your mind towards saving others? Because you have been saved. That's why you are here. Or you are about to get saved. What about others? Then in part 4, can God trust you to become a star for him? Because we have to be a star for Jesus that shines over every darkness in this life. And you can never, ever be missed. God can never miss you. You can never, ever, because your light, your star will shine out for God to identify you. As Christians, we are positioned to shine his light on those in desperate need to be saved. A star is supposed to be a beacon of hope that shines light, that guides the way. Daniel chapter 12 verse 3 says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Those who are wise will shine forever and ever. Amen. Then in part 5, we discuss release your dreams and talents. Release your dreams and talents. I hope you are all taking notes. I said, don't keep your dreams, your talents, or your gifts locked up inside of you. Release them. We are meant to use them to stand us out in the crowd. No matter how old you think you are, your life is not over yet, because there are opportunities waiting for me and you to be discovered. There are so many great first-time discoveries yet to be discovered. Go for it! Then I used a 70-year-old grandmother who designed a full-coverage brassiere that can correct posture and reduce back pain. The name of the bra I said is Glamourette Granny Bra. It is not known everywhere. And then recently I heard that a lady called Barbara Walters, at the age of 67, created this popular iconic program called The View, where some powerful ladies give their opinion on hot topics every day of the week. It is still ongoing to date, even after Barbara Walters' death. Brethren, it is not too late for you. Don't give up on your dreams and talents. Above all, God is waiting to take us all to a wealthy place. According to Psalm 66 verse 12, he says, "Thou hast caused men to ride over herds. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place." No matter what you go through, you are arriving at a wealthy place. I pray that no matter what you go through in this life, God will bring you to a wealthy place in the name of Jesus Christ. Then in part 6, amen. Then in part 6, I said, one of the ways to stand out in the crowd and get God's attention is by giving. Either you are giving yourself to God, or you are giving your time to help others, or you are giving to the poor, to those in need, or to your ministry. God just loves a giver, period. Giving is one of the ways we show to God how we truly understand that everything we have comes from him. Giving stands you out in the crowd, brother and sister. Giving does stand us out in the crowd. Check this widow's story out. How her giving stood her out among all the givers. Mark chapter 12, verse 41 to 44. Mark chapter 12, verse 41 to 44.
And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she, of her want, did she cast in all that she had, even all her living. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to you, Lord. The amount the poor widow gave might have gone unnoticed. It might also have been insignificant during counting and recording period. But Jesus Christ noticed it and felt it was special enough that it drew the attention of his disciples, which is me and you, to our giving in verse 43. That this poor widow gave more than the rest of the people. Why? Because she gave all. She gave all that she had to live on. Brethren, this poor woman's giving was like true worship to God because it pleased him. Then in part 7, when God chooses anyone he likes from the crowd at any age or at any time, it is not based on our merits. No, God is sovereign. He is Lord over all creation. He exercises his rule and choice as he desires. God is sovereign. He is Lord over all creation. He exercises his rule and choice as he desires. He is in control of all things. He is present with his covenantal chosen people throughout till eternity. He chose you to carry out his salvation plan. Don't you forget that. As long as he chooses you, you will stand out. Psalm 33, verse 11 to 12.
The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Yes. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Every thought and plan in God's heart stands forever from generation to generation. At the end, God's plan will be established. God is forever trustworthy. His promises are true and they come to pass. God's promises are true and they all come to pass. If God has chosen you for his own inheritance, I say to you, congratulations, because you have eternal life. Then I went on to part 8, standing out in the crowd. When God calls you by your name, when you look at the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you will find certain people that God called by their names directly, and they all stood out. When God has an assignment for you and he decides to choose you from this old wild world for a specific assignment, he will get your attention by first calling you by your name. There were other times God called Abraham by name, but the very first time God met Abraham, it was Abram living comfortably in a great city called Ur in Mesopotamia. God appeared to him and asked Abraham to leave his country, to leave his people, to leave his father's house, his friends, his known environment, to an unknown land where he would make him a great nation. Abraham believed. He believed God. Mind you, Abraham had never heard about this God before, but he obeyed him without any hesitation. Abraham had never seen God before, but he trusted him. Abraham had never seen anyone talk about this God before, but he believed his words. God does not call you out of the crowd for nothing. God does not call lazy people, because when he calls you, he already has an assignment ready for you. Abraham was called by God to journey to a new land where he founded a new nation called Canaan, which is the land of Israel today. Isaiah 43 verse 1 says, But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When God calls you, are you prepared and ready to answer his call without any hesitation or question? Will you hear him and answer him and say, Yeah, I am, Lord, use me? When your faith in God is tested, will you pass or fail? I leave the answers to you. God tested Abraham's faith and loyalty by asking him to sacrifice his long-awaited only promised child called Isaac. Abraham obeyed God willingly and obediently without any hesitation. Victory is accomplished. Abraham passed the test to prove that he feared God. Today, he is the spiritual father. I would say the spiritual ancestor for every Christian. And we honor his obedience and faithfulness to God. Are you ready and prepared to answer his call today? I leave the answer to you. Then we'll go on to part 9. One of the values that stands us out from the crowd are people with loving and kind-hearted hearts. They are confident, whether they are popular or not. They soar, whether they are big or small. Whether they are wealthy or not, they stand out secured in Christ. They respect their core values and principles as a child of God. They are generous with their time. They are generous with their resources. They are considerate and empathetic people. They are always looking for ways to add value and give back to others and to make a positive impact in their surroundings. Loving and kind-hearted people understand that true happiness comes from helping others and making a difference in other people's lives. This group of people with loving and kind-hearted hearts always stand out in the crowd. They are known to be good-natured, gracious, helpful, and kind and merciful, and also soft-hearted people. They are also sympathetic and tender-hearted. Let me read Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14, NIV version. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." Our new identity in Christ stands us out. That means we should be kind, loving, thankful, and behave different from the rest of the world. Part 10, we are to be bold and strong in the Lord. One of the ways to stand out in the crowd is to be bold and strong in the Lord, so that no matter the storms, the threats that come your way, you will still remain standing. Not just standing, but standing bold and strong in the middle of the storm. God wants you to stand out in the midst of the crowd. He wants to showcase you to the world as his own. He wants the world to know that you are his and he is in, you are his and he is for you. Therefore, no matter what kind of storm challenges your peace or threatens your life, you will still remain standing bold and strong. We stand bold and strong right in the middle of the crowd. Why? Because we are assured, even when these storms are deadly and threatening, we should fear no evil. Without any doubt, we know that God is in the storm with us, comforting us. So says the book of Psalm 23, verse 4. Psalm 23, verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." We should stand bold and strong right in the middle of the storm because know who we are in Christ unafraid. Psalm 56, verse 3 to 4. Psalm 56, verses 3 to 4.
"What time am I afraid? I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to you, Lord. David had experienced diverse storms in his life, but when he became afraid for his life, he did the right thing by boldly declaring that his trust is in the Lord God Almighty. Storms are real, but they don't last long. I want to encourage you today that everyone that experienced storms in the Bible came to an end one day. I want to appeal to you, and this is very easy to do. When these storms come, never focus on the storms. Do not focus on the enemy's threats or what the enemy is doing or what the enemy is saying. Don't focus on the darkness that seems to gain ground, so you think, or the fake power they boast about. But focus on Jesus Christ alone. Focus on Jesus Christ alone and in his word. He is the one that secures your safety, whom all power on this earth and in heaven had been given to, according to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Be bold and strong in the Lord." Then in part 11, "Be trainable and be teachable." Be trainable and be teachable. One of the attributes that will make you to stand out in the crowd and be noticed, it is to be trainable and be teachable. If you are the type of person that think you have things already figured out, you are not teachable, neither are you trainable. If you are the type of person that think that you know it all, you are not teachable, neither are you trainable. If you think you are too big to accommodate others, you are not trainable, neither are you teachable. If you cannot take instructions or corrections, you are not trainable, neither are you teachable. If you think you are self-sufficient and too confident of yourself, you are not teachable, neither are you trainable. If you do not love your neighbor as you love yourself, you are not teachable, neither are you trainable. Every Christian should have a willing and submissive heart to be taught and to be trained, because we learn every day. We learn new things every day. We must approach learning with a humble and open attitude. This particular psalm I'm about to read seems to be a prayer asking God to help us to humble ourselves and learn from his ways, because him alone we depend on to teach us his ways. Him alone we depend on to teach us his ways. Psalm 25, verse 4 to 5.
Teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee will I wait all day. All the day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. This psalm provides us with divine instruction for growing in our relationship with God. The word of God gives us guidance into all truth in his word. John 16, verse 13 says, "How be it when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Jesus taught the poor. Jesus taught the rich, the outcasts, and the sinners. He taught us all to love everyone and to help one another. Brethren, if you are ready to stand out in the crowd as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have to be teachable and trainable. There's no other way. We are in part 12 now. All Jesus is saying to us is, follow me. Follow me obediently. Follow Jesus by following his lifestyle. Follow Jesus means you detach yourself completely from following the pattern of this world. Follow Jesus means you have to die to yourself and to your earthly pleasures. To follow Jesus means you have no choice but to obey his commands. All you need to do, it is to be obedient to his laws and be obedient to his ordinances and to his commands. The primary purpose of these laws, ordinances, or the commandments are meant to bless us. Romans chapter 7, verse 12 says, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandments holy, and just, and good." Obedience is very important for us to succeed in this life, and to obey God is the only way to go. Therefore, follow Jesus Christ, and you will always stand out different in the crowd. Part 13, chosen as a friend of Jesus. Chosen as a friend of Jesus. Christ has chosen us from this crowded world to stand out of the crowd in his name. Please don't let him down. He is the one that chose you and called you unto himself, so you can no longer be identified or referred to as a servant, but to specially and personally be known as a friend of Jesus Christ. John 15, verse 15 to 16.
"Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to you, Lord. You heard him clearly. He said, you have not chosen him. He is the one that has chosen you from the crowd that is filled with lots of people. Chose you out of the crowd. And he decided to set you aside and declared you to be his friend and ordained you in addition. That means God has already appointed you and put you in charge for a specific task. From the very day God called you as his, he called you to be his friend. Yes. He didn't call you out of the crowd just for title name's sake. He didn't call you to pose with his name. It isn't a joke. He put a permanent seal on you by personally ordaining you and called you his friend. This means that you have been chosen and approved by Jesus to minister the gospel to people. Brethren, wake up. Part 14. I have a new name. I have a new name. It doesn't matter what name the world referred to you as. It doesn't matter how they have nicknamed you, calling you a murderer, a weakling, a prostitute, adulteress, a failure, vagabond. A thief, a fraud, a liar, whatever silly name they've decided to judge you by. It doesn't matter, brethren, because you know who you are. You know whom you belong to, and you know your own name. The world might have shamed you and made you look insignificant, but Jesus is not ashamed of you. Neither is he ashamed to identify with you, and he has called you brethren. After all, he is the sanctifier that has pulled you out of the crowd to sanctify you and made you one with him. You can't take that status or recognition away from us. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 11 says, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Jesus is not ashamed to call you his brother or sister. So why should you be bothered by the name Jesus does not recognize you by? Part 15. He gives us his power. He gives us his power. One of the most important things that God gives to those he called out of the population of the crowd to be his own, he gives them his power. You are powerful. These special people that have received the power of God, they feel his presence. They feel his reverence. They feel his love overflowing right from the inside of their hearts. They are not afraid. They are confident because they know that God is with them wherever they go. They are not alone. Like Joshua said in Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Those God have chosen from the crowd, they are filled with the power of God. They are confident to declare the truth in God's word to anyone without compromise. Micah chapter 3, verse 8. Micah chapter 3, verse 8 says, but truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. God's divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. For those in Christ, God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness, like salvation. All of this was ours when we came to know God through faith in Christ. Everything God has given to us includes the power to get wealth. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. As it is this day. God has given us the power and the ability to be wealthy. It is a covenant for his children that had already been established. This covenant of wealth is also a covenant of power. He gives us the power to get wealth so that we can walk with him to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. He has not only given us the power to get this wealth, but to eat and enjoy it as well. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 19 says, every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. It is God's plan for us to enjoy our labor and the fruits of our labor. It is very good thing to receive wealth from God and also good health, to enjoy every bit of the wealth. But remember, we are to use this wealth to advance his kingdom. It is not for our selfish desires. Part 16, he sanctifies. God looked at the entire earth and decided to choose you out of everyone on this planet earth to be his people. He sets you apart from the rest of the world to sanctify you. He sets you apart to be holy and sanctified for the work and assignment he has prepared for you. It means that you are specially chosen to live by the guidance of the truth in his word. It means you'll be faithful to him in all you do. You shall keep your body holy and sacred. You will fear God and keep his commandments. You will love God with all your heart, with all your spirit, and all your soul. You will worship him and honor him. You will represent him without any doubt, any favor, with no compromise. You will fully be obedient to whatever he says or asks you to do. If not, there will be consequences when you are disobedient to God. And sometimes those consequences could be deadly. And I gave you an example. I used the man of God from Judah. I used his experience as an example. This man of Judah had done exactly as instructed by God. He delivered the message that the Lord gave to him about the coming destruction of the altar in Bethel. He was used by God to pronounce judgment against a wicked and idolatrous king called Jeroboam, who did what was evil in the sight of the Lord by bringing the people to worship other gods and cause the people to sin against God by abusing the temple of the Lord. But on his way, after he had faithfully delivered God's message, he had obeyed God and delivered the message. On his way back home, this old prophet approached him while he was resting, I think, against the oak tree. And this old prophet approached him and lied to him that an angel spoke to him by the word of the Lord to bring him back to his house to eat bread and drink water. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 18 to 25.
I read in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The old prophet answered from NIV version, please. The old prophet answered, I too am a prophet as you are. And an angel said to me, by the word of the Lord, bring him back with you to your house so that he might eat bread and drink water. But he was lying. So the man of God returned with him and ate and drank in his house. While they were sitting at the table, the word of the Lord came to the old prophet who had brought him back. He cried out to the man of God who had come from Judah. This is what the Lord said. You have defied the word of the Lord, and you have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. You came back and ate bread and drank water in the place where he told you not to eat or drink. Therefore, your body will not be buried in the tomb of your ancestors. When the man of God had finished eating and drinking, the prophet who had brought him back saddled his donkey for him. As soon as he went away on his way, a lion met him on the road and killed him, and his body was left lying on the road, with both the donkey and the lion standing beside it. Some people who passed by saw the body lying there, with the lion standing beside the body, and they went and reported it in the city where the old prophet lived. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The man of God from Judah believed this old prophet without seeking first the face of God to see if God had actually changed his instructions given to him. He didn't. After eating and drinking at the old prophet's house, on his way home, he was killed by a lion. Ironically, both the lion and the donkey he was riding on, both the donkey he was riding on and the lion that killed him were both found standing by the man of God from Judah's remains. Why did he allow this old prophet to lead him into disobedience to God? Disobedience is very key. Obedience is very important. There should be no compromise. We all have to obey God, especially when he has given us specific assignments. Try your very best, no matter how inconvenient it seems. Obey him. At the end, you will see the reason. It's more than your own small mind. This shows that the old prophet was not really a godly man. So it is with some false prophets today. Watch out, my brothers and my sisters. They are everywhere in sheep's clothing. God is the one that called you out of the crowd to sanctify you and set you apart, not any man. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You have a holy calling in your life, even before the world began. God chose you from the crowd for this holy calling, to sanctify you and to set you apart for himself. Why? Because he loves you with an agape, selfless love. He gave up his only begotten son to die in your place, according to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not die or perish, but have everlasting life. Now we come to part 17, the apple of God's eye that we discussed last Sunday. This will be the last of our review. Thank God we are able to complete it today. God has referred to some special people that he cherishes so much as the apple of his eye. They are handpicked by him from the crowd. They are very close to him. He watches over them closely. You do not come near the apple of God's eye because they are very well secured and protected by God. Don't come near them. They are untouchable. God found us while we were yet sinners, while we were lost and empty in the desert. God found us and kept us as the apple of his eye. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 10. He found him in a desert land and in the waste hauling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Woo! Special people of God. He shielded us, protected us, guarded us. He provided and cared for us as the apple of his eye. And you know what? David was so wise at the time when he was surrounded by many enemies. He made an honest plea to God to preserve him as the apple of his eye. That reveals his confidence that he has in God, that he knows God is the only one that will surely protect him. He will surely rescue him from all kinds of troubles and danger. Psalm 17, verse 8 to 9. Keep me as the apple of the eye.
The apple of the eye, hide under the shadow of thy wing, from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemy, who compass around me about. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to you, Lord. Did you hear David's confidence in his prayer to Jehovah God? He says, keep me as the apple of your eye. David was surrounded by those who wanted to kill him. Only the Lord could protect him and deliver him from all his enemies, from all the enemies' ruthless plans and wicked deeds. Only God can protect him. The same God will be able to protect us. Brethren, when you suffer persecution, God will protect you. He will keep you as the apple of his eye in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. When God looks at his children, we are reflected in his eye. We are the tiny reflection of his vision. We are the apple of his eye. That is why he said, anyone that touches us touches the apple of his eye. Zechariah chapter 2 verse 8. Zechariah chapter 2 verse 8 says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations, which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. I want you to say quietly, don't unmute. I want you to say quietly, for he that toucheth me toucheth the apple of his eye. For he that toucheth me toucheth the apple of God's eye. For he that toucheth me toucheth the apple of God's eye. This is very strong expression of God's love to his children. He that touches you touches the apple of his eye. He that hurts you is hurting God. And he that threatens you is threatening God. He that touches you is in for a very big trouble with God Almighty, because no one else can save them. That is why when God looks at his children, we are reflected in his eyes. That tiny reflection of his vision, we are the apple of his eye. It is magnificent and amazing, for the holy God of the whole universe would even be able to consider to choose us from the crowd of this world and stand us out by referring to us as the apple of his eye. We are beyond grateful, Lord, and we are blessed, oh God, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. For some of us, it might still be hard to believe that God will consider us the apple of his eye. Yes, indeed, you are the apple of God's eye. Because of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior Lord Jesus Christ, we became the apple of God's eye. We are the children of God, adopted and cherished in Jesus Christ. He has his eye on us. He protects us. He strengthens us. What great news, oh God. Today, God calls you the apple of his eye. I'm so grateful. I'm so honored. I'm so exalted. I'm so awesome. I'm so overwhelmed with joy to know all this power, all this strength, all these privileges, all this security God has given to me and you. God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you, Father. This is the review of our part one from January the 7th to part 17 that we have discussed so far. And I thank God, and I hope you took notes, you took points down, and I know you are going to use those words to sharpen your life. You will never, ever be the same again in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The next time we talk about standing out in the crowd, we'll be discussing about a saint. That was what we're supposed to discuss today. The Lord interrupted and said, do a review of all that has happened from part 1 to 17. And I thank God for you. If you have not given your life to Christ and you want to be in a position to do so, where God will choose you and you will be able to stand out of the crowd as his own, the time is now. As you repeat the prayer of salvation after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I know that I've sinned against you.
That I've sinned against you.
I repent of all my sins. Please forgive me.
And of all my
sins. Please forgive me.
I believe that your son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins. Was resurrected from the dead. And he is alive. I invite Jesus to become the Lord of my life.
Write my name in the Lamb Book of Life.
In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen.
I believe you've been blessed with this message. Join an amazing moment in God's presence by fellowshipping in his presence. There we'll learn and grow in God's words and prayer. It's a partnership with God's people and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Follow the link below to join us every Sunday and bi-weekly Wednesdays on our audio platforms. You are welcome. Thank you.